Blog Talk Radio.
Locker Talk.
Yes, yes. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Yes, this is Locker Talk. I just want to say thank you once again for tuning in to Locker Talk this week. This week is another exciting show with a lot of action, a lot of things to get to. You know, so whether you're listening to me in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, or late at night, I just want to say thank you for taking your time out. I just hope that you're not interfering with your family time nor your prayer time. But either way, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Oh, wow, a lot of stuff to get to. Last week was the finale of the workouts with the NFL Regional Combine. Last week, the host city, well, host team was New Orleans Saints. We were able to spend 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, to wrap up this year's workouts. And the New Orleans Saints were great hosts. They allowed us to use their practice facility, the indoor facility, a solid facility on the inside. Great feel, and just wanted to say, took out the time to say thanks to the Saints for allowing us to use their facility for the first time. It was definitely a great outing there. All the evaluators came to work. All the evaluators was ready to go. But most importantly, the players was ready to go. They knew that this was, you know, the last opportunity for this group for this year to showcase their talents, to put themselves in front of teams one more time to wrap up this season. This year, there were 788 players that worked out through the regional combine this year, which is, you know, a great number. Kids from all across the country made sure they were able to come to the areas that was hosting. Just in case you don't know, we wasn't with the show for the last couple of weeks. We was able to go to Houston, Arizona, Baltimore, Minnesota, and then just wrap everything up in New Orleans this past weekend. Only thing that's different was that we had Sunday. The other locations, it was just on Saturday. But this week, this last week, was on both days, Saturday and Sunday. So it definitely was a great outing with a lot of talent out there this week. But before I even get into talking about the players, which I will break down, we definitely had a great guest that was there overseeing the workouts. And the person who was there was actually, you know, none other than Rod Graves. Rod Graves is the NFL Senior Vice President of Football Administration and Club Services. Mr. Graves, that was my first time actually meeting him. I heard so much about him and his resume, his track record, as far as with him being in administration, any type of football administration, his career is basically over 30 years of experience. He actually had his first start in administration, not with the NFL. It was actually with the USFL, where he was a scout. And then let me just tell you about his resume, because the part that's so amazing with Mr. Graves is that he excelled at a fast rate. When he was in 1982, he was the regional scouts for the Philadelphia Stars, which was of the USFL. And then he quickly had moved himself up in 1983, and he was promoted assistant director of player personnel. After spending several years for that league, that's when he joined the NFL. As a matter of fact, he actually joined the NFL the very next year in 1984. So you saw the rapid success within 2 years, how he was able to move from the CFL right into the NFL rankings. And that's where he became pretty much a regional scout for Chicago Bears in 84. Then he was able to move himself up higher to director of player personnel in 1994. So, you see that the progression that he had there. And then from there, that's when he wound up going to the Arizona Cardinals, where he pretty much, I would say, earned his name, so to speak. Everyone knew who Mr. Graves it was at that time. And when he went to the Arizona Cardinals, that's when he pretty much worked himself up from the scouting department all the way up to general manager. And when he became general manager, that's when he left from them, from the Cardinals, in 2013, and he wound up going to the Jets and became their senior director of football operations. And he was there pretty much just for this about a year before he was able to take the position with NFL, with the NFL front office that he holds the capacity of right now as being the senior vice president of football administration and club services. So Mr. Graves is really in tune with football. The best part about his background is scouting. So for him to be involved and know that the NFL Regional Combine is one of his duties to oversee, to pretty much come up with new strategies for us with development of players and how to expand the Regional Combine. He's like the perfect guy for the job, and I was able to have the opportunity to actually interview him in regards to the Regional Combine. And right now I was going to play the interview with Mr. Graves that he allowed me to be able to record and very grateful for. This is Mr. Rod Graves of the NFL.
I'm standing here talking to NFL Senior Vice President of Football Administration and Club Services, Mr. Rod Graves. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great.
Great to have, thank you for coming out today to see you see your guys, your products.
Well
today.
It's been an amazing process, and one that I've been really taken by in terms of the organization and efficiency of the process, and a lot of credit goes to Taisha Smith and her crew. But it's been a great day. We've had a lot of participation by aspiring players, and we're really excited about giving them this opportunity.
Major League Baseball have their farm systems, like NBA have their D League, Canadian farm, with hockey they have their AHL. NFL finally has their platform where they can scout talent, how they can develop talent. How does it feel to know that you have your own and you can actually birth players through your own pipeline?
Well, it is a process that we're continually trying to improve upon. The bottom line is that we want to be in a situation where we can claim that no stone is unturned.
Mm-hmm.
And through the regular norm of team evaluations and on-campus visits and postseason evaluations, workouts, campus visits, all of that, and then with the main combine in Indianapolis, we still feel like that there's opportunities out there that we still are not giving. And the regional combine allows us an opportunity for players that we haven't vetted out, that they can still come to a place and be seen by pro scouts and be evaluated and still have an opportunity to make that move to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. What's been the reaction from the small schools, the Division IIs, the HBCU schools, when they reached out to the front office? What was their response to the in regards to the regional combine?
Well, I think they've been overwhelmingly supportive of the regional combine because oftentimes those schools have felt like maybe they weren't getting the sufficient coverage that some of the larger schools were getting. So this platform does allow for an opportunity for those schools to send players to this location or the locations that we have established all around the country for the regional combines, and allow the players a chance to perform in front of pro scouts and be seen, be evaluated. But I think for the most part, many of those schools have been very supportive of what we're doing here.
Well, the talent that you've seen on that actually came out in the field this year in Houston, Arizona,
right,
Baltimore, Minnesota, knowing that the talented players are coming from out the woodworks,
right,
do you believe that sometime soon down the road with the NFL, they may make some changes to the roster as far as the limit of number of players? Right now it's 53. You think they may increase because there's so much talent out here, and plus to help with, you know, with health and safety is something the league is trying to back.
Right.
You think that because there's so much talent out here that the league may make a change and make sure more players get into the NFL?
It's certainly a possibility at some point that the league could talk about roster expansion, but I think even within the context of where we are today, there are still opportunities out there for players to come in that weren't drafted, that may be free agents, and even during the season when injuries occur, we have opportunities where we're bringing players in, quote-unquote, off the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still think that there's chances for youngsters to be identified and noted for their possible contributions. And this is where this type of platform allows us to really recognize what additional qualities, those compensating qualities that players have that we may have overlooked for one reason or another during their college careers. This is a chance to reinforce the kind of information that that those players have that we can now provide to all of the NFL teams and give them a chance to be in the discussion.
From your years of service for covering football, going all the way back to the USFL,
mm-hmm.
all the way to now to the NFL, in your own words, when you see these players at the healthiest state of the NFL, how have the players evolved in your eyes, and do you see that the players can actually get better, or do you actually see that this, you know, process of the NFL get better because of these players?
Well, by and large, I think today's players have improved. They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger than what we've ever seen. We see more of a concentration of specialists now, that where there's off-season training going on and guys are preparing for events like the combine, so they're specialized in terms of the types of drills that they train on and all of that. But today's players are certainly a different breed than what they were, I would say, 10 years ago. I remember when it was almost unheard of to have a player come to the combine and run a 4.4, a sub 4.4. And now, you know, it's almost commonplace to have guys running in the 4.4s or you know, certainly sub 4.5. So, you know, it's just amazing in terms of the strength and the speed, the quickness, the strength that the players have today. And I think at the end of the day, it makes our game just more exciting when you've got that kind of quality out there on the field.
Thank you, Mr. Graves.
Yes, that was Mr. Ron Graves of the NFL, Senior Vice President of Football Administration and Club Services. For him to be able to take his time out to talk to us, to actually hear from him, to put his words out there in the atmosphere, to hear from someone who's behind this great platform, it definitely was a great opportunity. And to see how he's into the process is not something that was just put together through NFL operations and he just showed up just to be there. No, he was, I can tell you folks, I was there. He was really intense and watching, asking even more questions about the product, even, you know, talking to a lot of the scouts that were there. You know, he definitely was in tune with everything last week. So it was great having him inside the building. Now, back now, right into your players. And again, my name is Barry Barnes, host of Locker Talk, CEO and founder of locker-report.com. You can always get in contact with me directly by email, barrybarnes@locker-report.com, or you can always follow me on Twitter at 2bsports, or for the Locker Report page is locker_report. Now to the players, the part that I know you've been waiting for, to hear some names of some guys that actually stood out, and it was a large number of players there we look at for 2 days. So I'm definitely going to get as many guys in, because a lot of these guys definitely deserve to hear their name and also be recognized. When you're starting off with the defense, we're going to start with the defensive backs. You had a Tyree Anderson from Lock Haven. He's about 6 foot defensive back, good foot speed, very solid. He looked at himself towards being more of a press corner, and during his workouts, even when they had to go for their ball drills, it was all the times he would swing his arms out as if he was actually defending somebody, someone when he was going for a pass. So he's someone that was really good, that had stood out. Now, given the fact that on Saturday, the defensive back group there were pretty good. They all pretty much possessed solid speed. Only problem was they struggled with the ball skills. Mr. Anderson was one of the very few that actually stood out, because he was able to do a little better, you know, showing his skills with the ball and everything. Although he said he felt as though he should have did much better. But that was one of those situations that he had faced. But one person who definitely was on top of everything was Mr. Amar Christian. Mr. Amar Christian, he actually transferred from South Carolina to go to the University of Utah. He was solid, folks. And he was one of those guys that actually walked and carried himself with a lot of confidence. He caught the ball with confidence. He moved with confidence. He showed the closing speed that you need in the NFL. Everything he did, it showed that he was in control of what he's going to do. He actually showed that, yes, I belong in the NFL. This is what I can do. And for him to talk so much about his school, the family atmosphere at Utah, that actually, believe it or not, helped him become not a better player but a better man. I'd like to see this guy play on Sundays. He did very well. When you look at Mr. DeNarco Hayward, Hayhorn, who went to Acosta, Alabama, he was a solid guy there. He had a decent speed as well. He showed, decent hands, decent hands while he was there. And then he had Marco Reed from South Alabama, a big defensive back, solid speed, really sharp on his short shuttle, showed that he had a lot of control, a lot of balance. He's someone to definitely watch out. And then Mr. Tyrell Brown. Mr. Tyrell Brown with the Coastal Carolina, solid speed. He showed that he had what it takes to play on Sundays. When you look at Jamir James from West Georgia, he was another guy, showed a lot of explosiveness. And he came out the gate with his broad jump, which showed that he had a lot of control, a lot of power coming from his legs. But when you fast forward to Sunday, the defensive back group that was there, they showed better ball skills. They were really on top of that game. And when you look at the players that was there, you had a Mr. DeMarcus Farmer from Troy. He was really solid. He showed a lot of control, a lot of speed there. The one that actually stood out to me for the entire weekend as far as the defensive back was Mr. Gabriel Hammer, who went to McNeese State. McNeese State is one of those schools that just pump out solid talent for the NFL. He, a big defensive back, about 6 foot, 6'1", have a background playing basketball, awesome ball skills, backpedaling, everything was so fluent with him. And he just showed that he's that prototype defensive back that you need in the NFL to be able to be physical against those receivers. The way he turned his hips and he moved really gracefully. And then you had a D'Angelo James who went to Wagner. He's another guy that showed that he had great ball skills, definitely great speed out there. And also we have a Randall Jett from Massachusetts. He did very well on that workout there. And then you had a Darquell Stewart from Lamar, very balanced, a lot of control. And then you had a Trey Wolford from Middle Tennessee, a lot of control, great ball skills. And then you had a Tyron Watts from Texas A&M Commerce, who's a very smooth runner, very graceful in all his movement there. So he was one of those guys that just showed that he can, keep up with those speedy receivers in the NFL, which is not always easy to do, knowing that a lot of receivers are much bigger and had that big, long stride. He can show that he can actually keep up and keep pace against those guys. Now we go in towards the linebackers. One of the linebackers that you had there was Mr. David Wilkerson, who went to Lenoir Rainey. That school haven't produced any NFL talent, but I think that he could be the one to break the mold. When you look at certain players that play the linebacker position and you say that, can this guy really play it? Not can he play the position, but he looked like the position, a big, solid, sturdy linebacker that I believe that can translate into the NFL. And then you had Mr. Emmanuel Graves from Colorado Mines. He showed good ball skills. He showed that he have a lot of power, a lot of tenacity, and he have great explosiveness as he's a great leaper. So he was one of those guys that actually stood out that Saturday's workout. And then you look at another guy named Blake Shepherd, who went to Central Michigan. Central Michigan is another team that has a great pipeline of players that get to the NFL. He was very solid. He had good speed. And also, he showed a lot of balance and control in his short shuttles. They have good footwork. So you see that his reaction, his stop, cut, reaction time is really good. And then you look at another gentleman that was really totally off the meter. I had asked, what was his story and everything. His name was Mr. Jamal Clayton. He went to Wofford in Iowa, which is an NAIA program. And he pretty much just said the reason why he went to that school was because the family atmosphere there, the false recruitment. They didn't look at him just being a recruit. They looked at him as a person, so that actually won him over. And he pretty much dominated in his in that field as being a linebacker and also a defensive end. But, he had to probably translate over to a linebacker in the NFL, which is something that he can do. So one of the things he was pride himself off on was that he could cover. He could drop back in the coverage. And he showed he had the good hands skills to be able to be a playmaker. And then you had a Mr. Ben Goodman from Kansas, who pretty much been overlooked last year. Kansas had an 0-12 season. He felt as though that he's still shy. He should have been first team all Big 12, but it didn't happen that way. But he's looking to actually have the opportunity to actually take it to the next level to do well in the league. And when you look at the defensive fronts, defensive tackle, Mr. Johnny Madness Jr. from Mars Hill, this guy is about 6'5", 6'6", close to 300 pounds. And he kept his 40 time pretty much under 5 seconds pretty much. It was unofficial with something that I had clocked myself, and to see that he came close to like a 4.9, knowing he had all that speed. And he's very solid, and he showed how well he can how he control his balance through his short shuttles. It showed that he have a lot of control too. Unfortunately, he kind of tweaked his hamstring while he was there, so he wasn't able to finish all his drills. But he did enough to actually turn some heads that day. And so he definitely was one of the guys that stood up. And then you had Gerard Washington from West Alabama. He did well. Then you have Austin Henderson, who went to Southeastern Louisiana. He had a great workout. Then Josh Casanova from Samford. He had a great workout. Yet there was a lot of defensive tackles that did very well. You had a Greg Caldwell from Shorter. He showed a lot of balance, a lot of control. Stephen White from Fort Valley State, he was another one. All these defensive tackles were pretty much big, and they all had decent speed. So that was pretty much the wrap-up for us with the defensive guys. And now we get to the offensive guys who actually did, you know, pretty well and stood out, you know, doing an entire workout. Decent speed across the board with both days. I think Saturday was pretty much almost a better day for us with speed. You had Antonio Gers from Ferris State. Ferris State men actually had a great showing this year with several players that came from that school, the Division II up in Upper Michigan. He was one of those guys that actually came and showed what he could do. Then you had Demario Bell from Alabama State. He about 6'3", 181 pounds. He showed that he had tremendous ball skills. Then you had a Marcel Carver from Winston-Salem. He's about 6'2", 185 pounds, solid ball skills, good speed, pretty much kept around 4.4. So he showed that he was able to do it. Then you had a Daniel DeHart from Alabama State. He was one of the guys that I featured. And, again, you can always see the written content on locker-report.com of the guys that had some of the guys that stood out to me, guys who I believe that should get a good look at teams to go in the camp. And there was a number of other players. That's why I'm having this show, because I know I can't get to everyone. I couldn't interview everybody. So at least with having this show, I can be able to touch and talk about certain guys. You had a Larry Joshua from Seton Hall. He showed solid speed, good hands. You had a Stephen Martin from Incarnate Word. That's another small school. I mean, Incarnation Word. So he did, you know, pretty good there. Had a good start. One of the things he liked to do is that he liked to kick start his run. So it was very unique in a way, watching how well he had performed. And then you had another guy named Quinshard Davis from North Carolina. He had a rough senior year. And this platform is not only just for small schools, but for big programs, the guys that want to come out and prove that they can still play after being overlooked, whether it was injury or they fell down for a depth chart or the offensive scheme has changed. He was one of the guys that came out and showed what he was able to do, and he did a great job. Then you had Gerard Bell from Fort Valley State, about 6'3", 200 pounds. He showed great speed and good hands. This was a battle. It was two guys named Byron Johnson from Southeastern Louisiana, and a Nicky Height from Georgia State. It was as if these guys were just competing against each other and catching these balls, because they were wide receivers, us pass catchers that was there. So it was like when one player did one thing, another one did. So these guys actually went back and forth. Then you had a Justin Levy, who went to Delta State. He clocked pretty much near about 4.5 speed, showed good solid hands, and good footwork. You know, it showed that he actually is a real good route runner. So he did very well. Then you had a Michael Thomas from Southern Mississippi. He showed good speed. He showed that he had good hands as well, which is something that is very important that you just can't forget to mention, because you can have speed, but if you don't have the hands to back it up, it's almost, you know, why you're playing the position. That's why I'm emphasizing the way how these guys are able to flag the ball down and do what they have to do out there on the field. And now we're going to mosey on over to the running backs. Now, what I have to say, that the Saturday group of running backs, these guys were phenomenal when it came down to catching the ball out the backfield. You had a Willis Davis, who went to Tennessee Tech, about 5'10", very solid build, great hands, good catch out the backfield. And then you had another gentleman by the name of Ron Gray II. He had a solid broad jump with about, and he jumped about 9.3, showed a lot of explosiveness. Solid speed. He went to Elizabeth City State. Another solid running back that could catch out the backfield. Very disciplined, hitting around his cone drills. And then you had a Kerry Littlejohn, who went to Kabawa. He moved very gracefully out there. He's a natural runner. He showed solid hands. I tell you, it was one of those sequences with the running backs that you just had to see for yourself. Then you had an Adrian Sterling from Florida Atlantic. He runs hard, catches the ball out the backfield very well. It was a great day. Then you fast forward into Sunday. That's where you saw a lot of your power. The one who exhibited a lot of power was Daryl Vineyards, who went to Virginia Lynchburg. Now, he jumped out the gate with a vertical jump of 41.9, and he showed that he had a lot of power, good speed. He minorly hurt his calf on his first 40, but he was able to finish the rest of his drills. He showed good ball skills. And then you had a Tobias Lofton from Nichols State. He had a great vertical jump. I mean, he had a great broad jump. When he actually had a jump for about 11 feet, 11.3, and he showed he had solid speed. I mean, it was one thing after another. Then he had a Jarvis York from Delta State. He was another one that showed that he had good speed, was able to exhibit a lot of power. It was a great day for the running backs. And then he had John Lynn with the North Texas. This is slided down to a fullback that actually had hands as if he was a wide receiver. He pretty much was the fullback that had shine. And then you go into the O-line, and they were pretty much loaded with those guys as well. When you had a Matthew Garcia from Florida Tech, good footwork, solid. Hands, actually he did very well with using his hands. Move on his toes very well. Then you had a Trevon Strickland from Youngstown State. He was solid. Then you had a Leonard Wester from Missouri Western. He was solid. Then you had Isaac Sampson, who went to Alcorn State. He went to town. They had his workout. Aaron Morris from Mississippi. He did very well. So much talent with the offensive line that weekend. Then you had a Dominic Roberts from James Madison. He showed out. It was one of the things that actually stood out with the offensive line was that majority of these guys said they had an athletic background. They played more than just football and playing the offensive line during their time before they became football players. A lot of basketball backgrounds for these guys. Now we're coming into the end of my show. Again, my name is Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. I want to thank the whole entire evaluation staff for the 2016 NFL Regional Combine, and for Mr. Ron Graves to give us some time out of his busy schedule to talk to us. Now, next week, when we go forth, we're going to move on a little bit more towards the Regional Combine. This is where the workout, this is where the fun begins, where you start preparing for the draft and the free agent signing. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about the Regional Combine, break down the stat, break down who was attending, you know, who showed out for us with programs and how well that the programs had did during this year's workout. Again, you can always contact me at barrybarnes.lockerreport.com. That's my personal email. And also, you always hit me up on a message and on Twitter at TV Sports or Locker_report. Thank you for your time. Look to talk to you guys next week. Everyone stay blessed and have yourself a great day. Bye-bye.